always greet people by saying good afternoon, good morning, good evening, and so forth. And if there is enough time, I also try to get the names of some people through which I'm able to know how much people are desperate in being good, good morning, good afternoon. Nobody says bad morning, bad afternoon, and so forth. And everybody has a good name. All this shows that we want happiness, we want peace. So therefore, the first thing that I ask people is, do you want happiness? And I'm asking this question to you. Although I am unable to see you, but I would like to hear your voice. You said yes, okay? I have not forced you, you said yes. My next question is, you said you want happiness. How long you want that happiness and peace? For how many days you want that? Very greedy. So this is interesting thing, you know. We want happiness and also long-lasting happiness and peace. And this wish to have long-lasting peace and happiness is not something that you learned from your religion. It probably is not something that your parents taught you. You are born with that wish, with that urge. In Buddhism, we talk about the life's different stages and experiences. And we explain that by saying, birth is suffering, aging is suffering, illness is suffering, and finally death is suffering. But ordinary people like us, we say, happy birthday. The Buddha said, birth is suffering. We need to find out who is right. What is the first thing that the child does after the birth? Laughing or crying? Crying. Interesting, very interesting. Because if it's really happy birthday, then the first thing that the child should do after the birth is ha 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 ha, you know. But what we find is crying. Be it an American child, Tibetan child, Chinese child, Indian child, doesn't matter. The first thing that the child does is crying. And what do you think the child is asking by crying? I don't think the child is asking for a lengthy discourse on Buddhism or on Christianity or on any religion. The child is asking for unconditional love, unconditional care from somebody. These are, I think, extremely, extremely important life lessons that we should all be aware. The child is asking for unconditional love. Because the child is in need of their long-lasting peace and happiness, and the child is also able to kind of figure out, based on his psychophysical state, that the long source for long-lasting peace and happiness is unconditional love, unconditional love, unconditional love. Why I need to repeat these lines? I need to repeat this because when we grow up, that unconditional love disappears into thin air, and what we come up with is business love. You love me, I love you, so long as you love me. I call that business. So therefore, I choose this topic, finding happiness in an uncertain world. Now when we say finding happiness in an uncertain world, people do get some sense of finding happiness in an uncertain world. So what they do? They marry somebody. Then after a short while, they say, oh, things are changing. I should change my wife. This wife didn't work. This husband didn't work. This furniture didn't work. This car didn't work. But I change it. The next car, the next wife, the next husband is sure going to give me their long-lasting peace and happiness. So you end up whole your life changing your furniture, changing your wife, changing your husband, changing your relationship, and then you die. This is exactly what is happening in today's world, and we are not able to get the long-lasting peace and happiness. What the Buddha taught was, you need to realize things are changing, but in order to get the long-lasting peace and happiness in that uncertain changing world is not changing the external situation circumstances, but changing yourself. It is not changing the external, but changing within, the internal, through which you can get long-lasting peace and happiness. And why this is so? Because if you try to change what is outside of you, be it the event, be it the situation, be it the people, you have no control over these people, these events, these situations. And if you try to control them, it's wrong. You need to respect other people's life. The life of that other person is not for you, to entertain you. The beautiful tree that is growing outside there is not to entertain you. It has its own life. Respect their life. Be it a human being, be it a tree, whatever, respect their life. And try to learn to live in harmony with the nature. So the way to get the long-lasting peace and happiness, there are many, many different steps. One step is living in harmony with everybody, living in harmony with nature, living in harmony with your thinking and your body and so forth. So let me give you a few illustrations. One is when this TEDx talk was introduced, this young lady said, there will be people who will be talking about like mind-blowing things, you know, things like that. But honestly speaking, I don't have those kind of mind-blowing things. Because, you know, there's a Tibetan saying which says, all actions, all activities are imitations. And whoever does the best imitation is called a scholar. So I'm here to imitate the Buddha, imitate His Holiness Dalai Lama. But I'm imitating not in a stupid way, but I felt that these are really good ways of thinking, good ways of life. So I'm imitating them. So therefore, it is important to realize the fact that if you want that genuine, long-lasting peace and happiness, learn to live in harmony with nature, as I said earlier. And I give you an example. In order to live in harmony with the nature, you need to understand nature. And that's why the first teaching that the Buddha gave after his enlightenment was teaching people live in harmony with nature. So the first teaching that he gave was on impermanence, uncertainty, change, which is so relevant in today's world. Everything is changing. Everything is in a flux. And out of that first topic of impermanence, the first thing that he taught was death. How many of us are here who meditate and contemplate about death? I doubt. Everybody is preparing to live. Even if you ask an old man, 95 years old, are you going to die soon? Yes, I'm very old, I'm going to die soon. Are you going to die today? Today, maybe not. That is the situation. Now, why this teaching is important? This teaching is important if you are somebody who has this clear understanding that today may be my last life, last day, there will be quantum leap in changing your life. If you don't have that understanding, then there will be hatred, corruption, exploitation, resentment, lack of concern to other people's well-being, and so forth. If you understand that, your life will be completely transformed. I tell you a short story of encounter of a mother with her child who was very sick. And the mother brought that child to the Buddha. And immediately the Buddha said, oh, this child is going to live only 1 year. And then the child started crying. And there was no way to really console him. So after several months, the child came back to the Buddha. And the Buddha said, what have you been doing during the last few months? Did you do anything that's harmful to other people? Did you kill anybody? Did you say any nasty thing to other people? Then the child said, I'm going to die soon. How can I do those things? That is the point. That's why one of the Buddhist teachers, like Shantideva, he says, you don't have to kill people. They will die. From that, you can get a sense of how stupid we are. In that same way, we can say, you don't have to bring suffering on others. They're already suffering. Now look at what we are doing in the world. Coming up with extremely, extremely, accurate, sophisticated machines to kill and eliminate people. And people who are supervising that are called the great leaders who walk on the red carpet. It may be because of smallness of my mind, but I'm completely shocked. Completely shocked. How come that we have only few lives, few years to live together? I'll tell you another story, which is, that's my like kind of inspiration that I'm trying to give you. It's not coming from me, it's coming from great teachers. There's in one of the Buddhist mind training texts, there is a teaching which talks about three criminals who are caught and to be killed tonight, let us say 10 p.m. So they have only a few hours to live together. How they should behave towards each other? Exploitation? Corruption? Trying to bully each other? Kill each other? If they do something like this, we will be shocked. And some of us who have tender heart might cry, might weep. How come these people, they are going to be killed at 10 p.m. and still they are so mean to each other? How come? Is that clear? So what they should be doing within this few remaining hours is they should be praying together, consoling each other. And then this, the writer of this text, he says, we are no different from these three criminals. They have few hours to live, and we have how much? Even if I give you a big discount, even if I give you a big discount, we will live another 70 years, not more than that. Sorry, very sorry. Not more than 70 years. So within this 70 years, how should we be doing? And I've already told you, you see. But we don't think about these things. We don't think about these things. That's why we never get happiness. So that's why in the Buddhist teachings, it is repeatedly said, suffering is introduction to happiness. Suffering means challenges. When you encounter challenges, you learn, you get new experiences. But what I'm really trying to drive at is that unless you change your attitude, you are never going to get happiness. Not only that, you are going to destroy this earth. So that's why I'm so happy that these young people with full of energy made this initiative of exchanging ideas, exchanging culture, transforming the mind. Normally what we do is, as I already said, we try to get that happiness from outside. From house, from marriage, from cars, from this, from that. And we are so much after these material pursuits. Today, everybody is running. Walking is too slow. Train is too slow. Car is too slow. Flying still slow. I'm shocked to learn this. All these vehicles are supposed to be facilities. All these technological products are supposed to be facilities. If these are facilities, then why do we have to run so much today? The facilities should give us more time to engage in more human creative activities. More time to spend with the families. Are we getting that? We are not getting that. We are running and running. Everybody says, I am busy. If to be busy is very important. I want to remind you, to be busy is not important. What is important is, what are you busy about? What are you busy about? And it is because of this rush towards the sensual pleasures, material objects, that we are now destroying the whole planet. Because the so-called concept of development in modern world is material development. Material development has to come from external physical objects. External physical objects have limitation. How can you make unlimited progress from limited resources? So we are already destroying the environment. So it's so important to have this kind of exchange program and then make initiative and discuss how to solve this problem. And we are so good in coming up with a, you know, destructive weapon which is so accurate that you can hit the enemy in the right or left eye, but we are unable to remove the garbages in the street. We are unable to, do away with the pollutions. Because there is no concern. There is no genuine care. If you have this genuine care, genuine concern, why can't we deal with these floods which comes in a place every year? Why do we have these choked drainages which is happening every year? Why can't you solve these problems? Why can't you reduce these pollutions? Because we have no concern and care for other people. We are only fond of doing the show business. So therefore, I'm these days actually not very fond of speaking, and especially to people like you, because you're to speak to you is like preaching the convert. You're all good people. Those people who are engaging in more destructive activities may not be here. So the question is how to reach them. And then in Buddhism, we talk about ignorance as the root cause of suffering. But these days, I add another sentence by saying, yes, ignorance is root cause of suffering, but inaction is also cause of suffering. So it is important to not only talk, speaking is very good. So next time you come up with an idea of doing something concrete, so that people are able to see that you are not just talking, but also doing. Thank you very much.